وآل محمد. أعوذ من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Chapter 69, Surah Al-Haqqah, verse number 15 and 16. The beginning of the surah, of course, talked about an event which is going to happen and bring out the reality of the world, and that's Al-Haqqah. And then talked about civilizations and nations which denied this reality, the truth of the world. And they did not listen to the messengers who brought the message of that eventuality. And then there were consequences for that denial. Denial not because they did not understand, denial because they didn't want to have a life with a meaningful aim and end. They just wanted to have pleasure in this world and to go outside the standards of the values of life. Now, then the verse number 13, after mentioning all those nations who had passed and were destroyed, says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ نَفْخَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ, when only one blast comes in the trumpet. We said that the end of the world is actually a sound blast which destroys everything in this world. What sort of sound blast it is, we don't know. The Quran says it's blowing into the trumpet. Of course, you shouldn't take it as trumpets that we have. It is something which would send waves to whole creation, whether the material life, the creation of material and physical world, or even the spiritual world, the world of angels. Its ripples would go on and on and on and would actually include everything, this sound blast. And then with that sound blast, وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ, verse number 14, we discussed, حُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةً وَاحِدًا, and the earth and the mountains are lifted and they are leveled with a single leveling. They are just pounded together and everything is dust now. Then on that day, the great event has happened. فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ, on that day, the great event has happened. This world is awaiting a great event. Now, people may accept it, may reject it, but we know that solar system is going to have a lifespan. We know this. We know that this, even the galaxy has a lifespan. And that eventuality is going to come. When is that going to come? We don't know. Whether it would have the full life as we can predict for it, or something would interrupt and shortens the life of the solar system, we don't know. But we know that this is going to happen. The end is anyhow there. Now, that waqi'ah, waqi'ah, of course, we have even one chapter named Al-Waqi'ah, chapter 56, the great event of the world, when the world is going to be destroyed and rebuilt again. Now, on that day, when the trumpet is blown, فَيَوْمَئِذٍ وَقَعَتِ الْوَاقِعَةُ. Now, we come to a set of verses here which are the most difficult verses of the Quran, from the mutashabihat of the Quran. You know, in the Quran there are verses which are muhkamat, they have very clear meaning. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, He is Allah one. But there are certain verses which are mutashabihat. They are not unequivocal. They have equivocal meanings. And you can take several meanings from one verse. And therefore, we need to think and reflect on them more than other verses. And here we have very, very difficult verses, because it talks about things which are beyond our imagination, beyond our grasp of thinking. Now, verse number 60. وَانْشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَهِيَ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَاهِيَةٌ, and the sky will be split open, for it will be frail that day. Now, the sky will be split open. وانشقت السماء. We discussed before, sama or the heaven or sky has several meanings in the Quran. One meaning is just the solar system. The other meaning is the earth atmosphere. The other meaning is the whole universe, is sama or samawat. The other meaning is a different dimension where the angels live. And that has been used in the Quran in many, many occasions. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ. How many angels are there in heavens? This is a spiritual heaven. This is not the universe or solar system or sky or whatever. So, the other meaning of sama is a spiritual heaven. Now, what this verse is referring to, this is why I say it's from the mutashabihat. It has two meanings, three meanings probably. And we have to see which meaning would be more fitting in the context of the verse. And the sky will be torn open. If we say that it is the physical sky, it means by sama, we mean, of course, the whole universe. The whole universe will be torn apart. The stars will fall apart, as we have in other verses. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبَّهَا وَحُقَّتْ وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. When the sky is torn apart, when the earth is elongated and stretched, this, of course, goes to the, in Surah Inshiqaq, this is about the physical world. Or إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انكَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَفَرَتْ. When the sky is darkened and when the stars would fall, this is again referring to the physical sama, physical heaven. These things will happen. Now, if that is the case, the sky being torn apart, it means that it doesn't hold anymore. The gravity between these stars would go away. The arrangement which is there between the skies, between the stars, will no more hold. And the stars would fall apart, would collide with each other. Things which are very apocalyptic, so to speak. Very apocalyptic on that day will happen. If we say sama here refers to the world of angels, which again, we have evidence here. We have evidence that it may refer to the world of angels. It means that the veil, the barrier, which is between our world and the world of angels will be torn apart. The world would mix. Our world with the world of angels, with the world of jinn, will all mix. And then whole human, jinn, angels are all over each other. They are so dazzled. They don't know what's going to happen next. Even the angels don't know what's going to happen next. So, when shaqqat as-sama, sama may have two meanings. Sama as the physical universe may be torn apart, and both of them may be true as well. And sama, the abode of the angels, that may be torn as well. And the world of physical objects and the world of spiritual beings would merge into each other. And we know that on the Day of Judgment that will happen. These two worlds would merge into each other, and we will have new sort of arrangement, divisions on that day. Well, we know that in hell or in paradise, for example, the world of angels and the world of human beings are the same. They live in the same dimension. They see each other, they talk to each other. So this is the merger of the worlds, the merger of the world of angels, the merger of the world of with the world of human beings. Wal malaku ala arja'iha. Now, this is a very difficult verse, and we have to pay much more attention to it. Verse number 17. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا وَيَحْمِلُ أَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. And the angels will be on its borders. Arja may mean borders, or it means all over. You see the angels all over this the sama, or you see the angels on the border of the sama. Now, I would mention the difference between the two. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَائِهَا وَيَحْمِلُ أَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. And the throne of your Lord will be borne that day by eight. Now, you see, this is a very, very ambiguous verse. Quite equivocally can give us different meanings. By eight what? By eight angels? By eight human beings? By eight creatures? We don't know. It's not mentioned here. وَيَحْمِلُوا عَرَشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَ اِذَنْ What's the meaning of? They carry the throne of the Lord. Again, it's a meaning that we have to discuss in more details if this computer helps and does not go off. Sorry, I have to log in again. Yeah. Now, وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ عَرْجَهُ If we say that the world of angels is torn apart and the human world also is destroyed, it's like a destroyed house, the world of angels, okay, the sama of the angels. It's like a destroyed house where now the angels don't know where to live. It's torn apart. And they're all going on the borders of this destroyed house, destroyed abode. And standing there, not knowing what's going to happen. You see, this incident is so terrifying that even the angels are terrified. They don't know what's going to happen. And that's why Allah will put everyone to sleep. When this first blast comes, the whole world goes to sleep. Angels, humans, everyone. It's a blackout. It's a blackout. And then the world would evolve from dunya to akhirah. From this life to the next life, from this stage of this plane of existence to a higher plane of existence, because that is so turbulent, the change is so turbulent, Allah out of His mercy would put everyone to sleep, the angels, the human beings, everyone, Jibrail, Mikhail, and that's what they call the death of man, angels, everyone, the souls. Of course, the souls are already in Barzakh. The souls would die. The angels would die. The jinn would die. Everyone would die, except a few. Except a few. وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ فَسَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ When the trumpet is blown, when that sound blast comes, everyone who is in the those who are on the earth, human beings, and those who are in the heavens, the angels, everyone would die. And then, except a few, and these are the eight which are mentioned here. Now, let's see what the connotations of these are. So, the angels are on the borders, and soon they die. Okay, everything would be... in the hands of God now. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ عَرْجَاهَا Now, on that day, now here, there is a sort of, day is a sort of long, long period. From this first blast, which kills everyone, every soul, every angel, to the last blast, which revives everyone, we talked about these two, killing and reviving blasts, to the end of the judgment, to the heaven and to the hell, it's all called one day. It's all called one day because it's all belonging to a different stage of existence. It's all called one day. We discussed before when Allah says He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. It doesn't mean 6 days like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 6 stages. And each stage may have lasted for billions of years, okay? 6 stages. And here a day, on that day, يَحْمِلُ عَرْشَ رَبَّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ The throne of your Lord is carried on that day by eight. What? I will mention what? By eight what? I will mention later. That is, of course, a long, long, long day, which we don't know, we cannot actually fathom the length of it. In traditions, we are told that the time there from the first blast, when everyone dies, from the first soul dying to the last angel, which is Israfil and Israel, the angel of death, dying, it takes several billion times of the life of this world from the beginning up to that and several billion times of that. You can imagine what sort of time span we are talking about. And of course, for Allah, time, he can waste time, you know, because he doesn't have time. Time for him is nothing. So, on that day, the throne of your Lord is carried by eight. Now, what is the throne of the Lord? We discussed this before, throne of the Lord. What is the meaning of throne of the Lord? Can someone tell me what's the meaning of throne of the Lord, Arsh, Al-Arsh? What's the meaning of Al-Arsh? Can someone tell me?
You told us it's not a throne that we know of.
Yeah. You know, if God has created the throne, okay, so he should carry the throne. Throne cannot carry God, isn't it? I mean, if God has created a throne, throne cannot carry him. He should carry the throne. Therefore, throne is not something that we know. It's a metaphorical usage which is very much in place in such concepts and notions which are far away from our thinking. When we go to the world of God, of course, we don't know what notions, what concepts we have to use. So God uses certain notions which we are familiar with. Now, what is throne? Throne is where a king sits and rules. And therefore, the throne of the Lord is that center, that source from which his orders are issued. The world is managed. That's the throne of the Lord. So when we say he's sitting on the throne, doesn't mean that there is a throne or something like that. It means that he is the one in charge of management of creation. He is the one in charge. So that's the throne. Now that throne, of course, is something real. It's not, although we say it's metaphorical, but every metaphor has a reality. A reality which is actually compared to a concept that we know so that we could connect to that reality. So Arsh is something created by God. And Arsh is the center from which all the angels take their commands. All the angels take their knowledge. And therefore, it's a multifaceted sort of creation which involves knowledge, involves power, issuing orders to the angels. That is the source. That's what we call Arsh, Arsh al-Rahman. So it's a real thing. It's a real thing, but don't think it's a throne like a throne that we have here and God is sitting on that. Actually, some very simpleton people would have thought and have actually mentioned this in certain books that yes, God, there is a throne of God somewhere in the heavens and he's sitting on that. And they don't understand, so what's the meaning of it? No meaning comes out of it that God is sitting on a throne or something like that. So the throne of God is the center of his power. Just like the throne of a king, we say, and if an order has come from the throne, when we want to talk about a king, for example, this order has come from the throne. So the angels, when they want to receive their orders, they say that the order has come from the throne, that source of power, of knowledge and everything. Now, why on that day is mentioned that eight are carrying the throne of your Lord? Now, in some traditions we have that these eight are eight angels. And in other traditions we have that these eight are eight people who are carrying the throne of the Lord on that day. And in all these traditions, it is said that now, the throne of the Lord is carried by four angels. But on that day, the throne of the Lord is carried by eight angels. Now, what do you get out of this? It means that this world is so simple, is so low in its grade, that could be managed by four angels. They take the orders, they issue orders to other angels, and so they can carry this sort of source of management. These angels are carrying it. There are four, and they can do it. Maybe it's Jibreel, Israfil, Israel, and Mikael. These four completely can manage this world now. It's very easy. But when the day comes that the world expands in a way that these four angels, despite evolving into new existence, you know that angels evolve into new existence when the world changes from dunya to akhirah, as human beings evolve to new existence. And when I say we evolve to new existence, don't think that we are the same. Our power, our knowledge, our sight, our hearing would phenomenally increase. We become absolutely different creatures. No one can imagine that who we are when we go to the next world. Whether mu'min or kafir, we increase and expand. أَسْمَعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبْصَرْ يَوْمَ يَأْتُونَنَا. Allah says in the Quran, I cannot describe for you how sharp their hearing and their seeing is when they come to me. But despite that sharpness of vision and hearing, لَكَنَ الظَّالِمُونَ الْكَافِرُونَ الْيَوْمِ أَوْ الظَّالِمُونَ الْيَوْمِ فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. But the wrongdoers still go astray on that day. They cannot see the truth. Still, because they could not see the truth with this limited vision hearing, they cannot see it with that expanded vision hearing there as well. So we expand. When the world evolves from dunya to akhirah, human being will expand. Everything will expand. The flowers will expand. The plants would expand. They can see, they can hear, they can talk. They would have intelligence. They show it on that day. Now, you can imagine how the angels would expand when this change happens. The angels would expand as well. They come into a new life, a life which is much more rich in its different aspects that no one can imagine. Now, despite that, the world has expanded to an extent which four angels cannot carry the throne of the Lord. It's not possible for them. So another four are added to them. Eight angels would carry the throne of the Lord. That means, still, of course, when we go to the next world, we do not see God. It's just things are coming from the throne. But throne has expanded because God has willed it to expand to be able to manage the new existence, the new plane of existence. Now, let's go to tradition to see what they say. This is what we understand from the verses, the verse itself. This, as I said, this verse is from Mutashabahat. It's from sort of ambiguous verses, very difficult to understand what it means. وَالْمَلَكُ عَلَىٰ أَرْجَاهَا. The angels are on the borders or all over. And then the throne of your Lord will be carried by eight angels, as we chose to be the meaning of this, by the eight angels. Now, some exegetes have said that this cannot be eight angels. It does not actually qualify the eight. It may be eight rows of angels, eight throngs of angels, because the life would expand in a way that not eight angels can carry the throne. Should be eight throngs of angels, eight hosts of angels, which would carry the throne on that day. Now, we know about these carriers of the arsh, those who carry the throne of the Lord. In Surah Mu'min, Alladhina, we know that some angels are those who carry the arsh. There are other angels round the arsh, round the throne, and other angels who receive their orders from these angels who are round there. And the angels have orders in themselves. Now, in Surah Mu'min, it says, Alladhina yahmiluna al-arsha wa man hawlahu. Those who carry the throne and those angels who are round the throne, waiting there to receive orders, to dispatch those orders to the angels who want to carry things in this world. So these angels who are round the throne of the Lord, these are, of course, from Mala'ul A'la, these are very high stationed angels. However, they are not those who carry the arsh, who have that knowledge, that power, that vicinity to the Lord, they receive it from the carriers of the Arsh. So, it's very interesting. Look what Allah says in this verse in Surah Mu'min, chapter 40. الَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْأَرْشَ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُصَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. This is very interesting. Those who carry the Arsh and those who are around the Arsh, they glorify the Lord. They say, Subhanaka, we have no knowledge of you. Whatever we say is in vain. You are above our contemplation. The angels who are carrying the throne would say this. You are beyond our contemplation. You are beyond our mind. Yusabbihuna bihamdi Rabb. They praise him, but they say, whatever praise we give you is not sufficient. You are beyond that. Now, the interesting thing is here. Yusabbihuna bihamdi Rabbihim wa yu'minuna bih. They believe in him. What does that mean, they believe in him? Aren't they just in the vicinity of the Lord, beside God? What does it mean they believe in him? Yes, even the angels, they have to believe. They cannot see. God is beyond the grasp of everyone and everything. So they have to believe. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Now, comes to what is, that's not concerned. We are not concerned about what angels do. They believe or not believe. That's not our business. But what is important here, he says, وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They believe, and day and night they are asking forgiveness for the believers. Now, why these angels should ask forgiveness for the believers? Because God wants so. Because this is how God is. Because he wants everything in this world work for the forgiveness of the believers. To make up for their wrongs, for their mistakes. Everything in this world should work. In this world should work in that direction. That's very beautiful, isn't it? That's very hope-giving, actually. Even the angels who are carrying the Arsh, they are day and night, they are asking forgiveness for the believers. In Surah Shura, it says, and it's not only for the believers. يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They ask forgiveness for whoever is on the earth. So, this forgiveness flows from the throne of God to the angels, to those who are around the throne, to those who are carrying the command. This, the attitude is to forgive, to take to the final destiny, which is neighborhood of God in paradise. Now, they say, as I said, there are those who carry the Arsh, there are those who are around the Arsh. Now, those who carry the Arsh, they say that it cannot be four or eight. It should be four hosts, four throngs of angels. Now, let's go to traditions to see what the traditions say. In one tradition, in a group of traditions, it says that these are angels. Those who carry the throne on that day are angels. In other traditions, it says those who are carry the throne on that day are human beings, certain human beings, which I will name shortly. Now, in Majma'ul Bayan, the famous tafsir, he reports from the Prophet, peace be upon him, saying that أَنَّهُمْ أَلْيَوْمْ أَرْبَعَةٌ. These are now four. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَيَّدَهُمْ بِأَرْبَعَةٍ. When is the day of judgment, Allah would support them with another four. فَيَكُونُونَ ثَمَانِيَةٍ. They will be eight on that day. Okay, now let's see what these eight are. The other tradition says that there are four angels now. It doesn't name the angels. There are four angels now. And on that day, they will be supported by another four, which they make the angels to be eight. And interestingly, some other traditions say that they are four, eight human beings on that day. Qala hamalatul arsh thamaniyatun. The carriers of the throne are eight. Arba'atun min al-awwalin wa arba'atun min al-akhirin. Four from the people who have passed in the past and four from the people from the posterities. فَأَمَّا الْأَرْبَعَةُ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ, the four which have passed, فَنُوحٌ وَإِبْرَاهِيمُ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ, the four from the past nations are Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa. They carry the arsh. وَأَمَّا الْأَرْبَعَةُ مِنَ الْآخَرِينَ فَمُحَمَّدٌ وَعَلِيٌّ وَالْحَسَنُ وَالْحُسَيْنُ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ, and the four from the posterior are Muhammad, Ali, Hassan, and Hussein alayhi wasalam. And these are the ones who do not die when the trumpet is blown, and would stay to carry the ash of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how can we tally between these two sets of traditions? Well, some traditions say that they are angels who are carrying the ash of Allah. Some say they are people, eight people. Now, the way to somehow conciliate and make compromise between the traditions is that those traditions which say that eight people carry it, they say arsh is ilm, knowledge. Al-arsh يعني العلم يحمل, these eight carry the arsh, meaning the knowledge. Every tradition which says these eight people carry the arsh, they say it means al-arsh وهو العلم, is knowledge. Those traditions we say the angels carry it, they carry it as the administrators, as the operators in this world. And therefore, because Ash has many different aspects, of course. Now, Ash as knowledge is full of knowledge. Every knowledge is just concentrated in the Ash. The A'imma alayhi wasalam have said that, and it's reported from the Prophet, peace be upon him, as well, that the knowledge of the Arsh is carried by eight. By Nuh, by Ibrahim, by Musa, by Isa alayhi salam, and then by four, Muhammad, Ali, Hassan, and Hussein alayhi salam. On that day, the knowledge of the Arsh is carried by them. But the operators of the Arsh on that day are eight angels. Eight angels which are huge in their, of course, mandate and in their power and whatever. And having said this, residing beside these people in paradise, these eight people, residing beside them in paradise, would make everyone to look up to them, to receive blessings from them in paradise. And on the day of judgment too, of course, these people who are there, they don't come just like ordinary people. They come as people with great knowledge who know everything, what's going to happen next. In the Quran, there are lots of conversations. People ask, what's going to happen next? And then there are certain people, قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَالْإِيمَانِ, those who were given knowledge and faith would tell them what's going to happen next, for example, on that day. So these people with this great knowledge of Arsh, of throne of the Lord, would carry this knowledge on that day, and everyone who receives this knowledge, and this knowledge is our progress in paradise. The more we progress, we elevate in paradise, the more knowledge we receive. And of course, the knowledge comes through these great men, these great people. The knowledge of the Arsh would come through them. Or even if we say it doesn't, we can say that whatever the angels do, those operators of the Arsh, is actually in the knowledge of these eight people on that day. They are the ones who never die. Even when the trumpet is blown, they don't die like the carriers of Arsh. When paradise, people go to paradise, their knowledge is the knowledge which is the ultimate knowledge, and no knowledge can go beyond them. And in that way, we would somehow make tally between these traditions. Now, look what Sheikh Saduq says in Al-Itiqadat. So I don't make up what I said. You shouldn't think that I just made this up. He says in Al-Itiqadat, Al-Arsh fi wajhin jumlatu jami' al-khalq. In one aspect, Arsh is the whole creation, including angels, everything. Wa fi fajhin akhar huwa al-ilm. In another aspect is knowledge. حملة العرش الذي هو جملة جميع الخلق ثمانية من الملائكة. The carriers of the throne, in that aspect which includes the whole creation, operation of it, running of it, is carried by eight angels. Hamalatul Arsh alladhi huwa al-ilm, the carriers of the throne, which is knowledge, that aspect of the throne which is knowledge, are these eight people, and he names them, and then there are lots of arguments that he brings here, and lots of traditions which he mentions to support what he says. Okay, what when all this happened? What then? Yawma Eden, on that day, when the trumpet is blown, when the earth and mountains are carried and pounded, when the throne of the Lord is on that day, cannot be carried by four, is carried by eight angels. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُعْرَضُونَ لَا تَخْفَى مِنْكُمْ خَافِي. On that day, you shall be exposed. And nothing of you would be concealed. Inshallah, we discuss this next week. وَسَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Yeah.